Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're diving into Games People Play by Dr. Eric Birney. Released in 1964, this groundbreaking book delves into the complex world of psychological games, exploring how individuals unconsciously engage in manipulative behaviors that lead to alienation and self-destruction. Byrne, a pioneering psychiatrist and the architect of transactional analysis, reveals the underpinnings of these interactions and offers insights on how to break free from them to achieve true intimacy. Games People Play is an essential read for anyone fascinated by human behavior, making it a valuable resource for life coaches, therapists, and anyone looking to navigate challenging interpersonal dynamics. With over 30 books to his name, Dr. Byrne's expertise shines through in this influential work, providing readers with the tools to understand and reshape their social interactions. Tune in to learn how to identify and transcend the games in your life, paving the way for healthier relationships and personal growth. Games People Play: The Psychology of Human Relationships. Introduction: Understanding the Psychological Games in Everyday Interactions. Do you consider yourself a player in life's psychological games? You might not realize it, but the answer is likely yes. By exploring the psychology of human interactions, you can gain a deeper understanding of both yourself and those around you. This discussion uncovers the subtle, often unconscious games that unfold in various settings and relationships. From workplace dynamics to intimate relationships, these games influence our behaviors and interactions. You'll explore the typical games couples engage in post-honeymoon phase, the motives behind engaging in confrontational games like "Now I've got you, you son of a bitch," the benefits and possibilities that arise from a life free of these psychological games. By recognizing these patterns, you can navigate your relationships more wisely and foster more genuine connections. Part 1: Decoding the Three Ego States That Shape Our Behavior. Have you ever wondered why people behave the way they do, even amidst apparent chaos? There are patterns, and understanding these can significantly change how we perceive interactions around us. After extensive observations, it became clear to the author that our interactions are influenced by one of three ego states: parent, child, and adult. These states, shaped throughout our lifetimes, encompass our feelings, thoughts, and behaviors, and they are influenced by both our past experiences and the present circumstances. Take the parent ego state, for example, which is modeled after our caretakers. Imagine a scenario where a mother scolds her child by raising her voice. This behavior might embed itself in the child, who could grow up to similarly express frustration vocally. This state isn't inherently negative. It's often an unconscious mimicry of our parents' actions. The adult ego state, on the other hand, is our seat of rationality. It develops as we start evaluating our experiences independently during our growing years. This state helps us make decisions based on current realities, applying logical and assertive problem solving. For instance, calmly asking someone to stop making noise in a movie theater is an action stemming from the adult state. Lastly, there's the child ego state, which captures our innate spontaneity and emotional essence. It is the wellspring of our creativity, emotions, and intimacy. Over time, this state might be overshadowed by the rational adult or mimicking parent states. Yet, it's possible to rediscover this state's purity and embrace our natural spontaneity, evident in scenarios like intimate moments, where behavior is more about innate reactions than learned responses. Understanding these ego states not only clarifies why we act in certain ways, but also offers insights into how we can relate to others more effectively, respecting the complex interplay of these foundational elements of personality. Part 2: How Ego States Influence the Games We Play in Relationships. Now that you're familiar with the concept of ego states, let's delve deeper into how these states drive the complex dynamics of interpersonal games. Every interaction you have involves an interplay between these ego states, sometimes leading to predictable patterns, sometimes not. Imagine a typical conversation where you, operating from your parent ego, co-scold a partner for neglecting household chores, parent-child interaction, or consider a scenario where you and a friend are making travel plans, both clearly in your adult states, adult-adult interaction. These interactions may seem straightforward, with obvious goals and roles. However, the waters get murkier when the visible ego state isn't the one truly in control. What if beneath the surface, something else is driving the interaction? That's when we enter the realm of games. Take, for instance, a seemingly innocent exchange where a man offers to show a woman his record collection, hinting at his interest. While it might seem like a casual adult conversation about music, it's often more about the playful, spontaneous child state exploring mutual attraction. The conversation about records subtly masks the underlying goal of intimacy. Such games can be conscious, where both parties are aware of the underlying intentions, or unconscious, where the true reasons and dynamics are hidden even from the players themselves. Understanding these games, why we play them, and how they play out, can be enlightening. It not only makes us aware of our own behaviors and motivations, but also allows us to navigate our relationships more authentically, steering clear of unnecessary complications. Let's explore some common games and see how we might avoid getting trapped in unhelpful patterns. Part 3: Exploring Lifelong Games and Their Deep Impacts. The term game often brings to mind short, leisure activities or sports. However, in the psychological sense, some games can span an entire lifetime, significantly influencing behaviors and relationships in profound ways. Take, for instance, the game labeled alcoholic. At surface level, when an alcoholic seeks help, they might seem to be appealing from a rational, adult state. However, this request often serves as a challenge to their loved ones, igniting a complex psychological game. The alcoholic, often unknowingly, adopts a rebellious child role, provoking their family to adopt a parental stance, scolding or reprimanding in response. This interaction allows the alcoholic to sink further into self-pity and self-destruction, perpetuating the cycle of drinking. Another enduring game is, "Now I've got you, you son of a bitch." Participants of this game harboring long-suppressed anger look for opportunities to express their frustrations. When a situation arises, such as being slightly overcharged by a service provider, the person seizes on this issue with almost a sense of relief and justification. They unleash a fury that is disproportionate to the mishap, finally expressing their stored anger. Meanwhile, the person on the receiving end, like the plumber, might also be caught in their own game, perhaps subconsciously perpetuating a narrative of victimhood and error. Both examples illustrate games that are not mere pastimes, but serious psychological patterns that can dictate a person's behavior and relationships across their lifetime. Understanding these can be crucial to breaking free from destructive cycles and moving towards healthier interactions. Part 4: The Intricate Games Spouses Play in Their Relationships. Marriage, with all its complexities and demands, often becomes a fertile ground for psychological games between partners, especially after the initial glow of the honeymoon fades away. As the daily grind sets in, spouses begin seeking strategies to meet their divergent needs, sometimes resorting to subconscious gamesmanship. One such game is known as courtroom. Imagine a couple heading to therapy under the guise of resolving their issues. While it appears that everyone involved is engaging maturely, the adult state, the dynamic often shifts subtly. One partner, adopting the child role, airs grievances about their spouse to the therapist, who steps into a parental role by judging and criticizing the other partner's behaviors. This not only validates the complaining spouse's viewpoints, but also places the therapist in a position of moral authority, deepening the gameplay. Another common scenario is the frigid wife game. In this complex interchange, a wife might tantalize her husband with suggestive behaviors, only to rebuff his advances, thus setting a trap. She initiates contact not as a partner, adult state, but rather as a controlling parent, offering conditional affection with phrases like, "You can kiss me if you want." The husband, responding enthusiastically from the child state, "Yes, please," is soon met with rejection and moral judgment from his wife, still in the parent state. This game not only reinforces the wife's negative stereotypes about male sexuality, but also perpetuates a cycle where genuine intimacy is elusive. Ironically, this dynamic might suit the husband who, deep down, may fear true closeness, thus choosing a partner who plays into his subconscious avoidance of intimacy. These games, while seemingly just part of the marital dance, can have profound impacts on the relationship's health and the individual well-being of each partner. Understanding and addressing these patterns is crucial for breaking the cycle and fostering a more sincere, fulfilling partnership. Part 5. Unpacking the hidden games at social events. Social gatherings, while largely enjoyable, can also be hotbeds for subtle psychological games that go beyond the overt fun of parties. While most of these games, like charades, are harmless, others are more insidious and carry deeper psychological implications. Consider the game known as Schlemiel, which revolves around a person who habitually causes minor accidents at gatherings, like spilling wine or clogging the toilet. At first glance, this individual seems genuinely apologetic, adult state, and the host appears forgiving, parent state. However, the true dynamics are more complex. The Schlemiel is not merely clumsy, but actively seeking forgiveness to affirm their perpetual child role, relying on the host's parent-like composure and forced forgiveness. This scenario enables the Schlemiel to persist in their irresponsibility, secure in the knowledge that their missteps will be condoned. Another complex interaction often played out at parties is the "why don't you, yes but" game. Here, an individual presents a problem, like difficulty choosing a car, inviting advice from others. Each proposed solution by the group, suggesting practical considerations and weighing options, might seem like a collaborative problem-solving effort, adult state. Yet the scenario unfolds differently. Each solution is met with a rebuttal from the problem sharer. Although the advice givers are adopting a nurturing parent role, the problem owner solidifies their position as a helpless child, dismissing every suggestion, which reinforces their narrative of facing an insurmountable challenge. These interactions, though cloaked in casual party chatter, are complex games that serve deeper psychological needs and maintain established ego states. Recognizing and understanding these games can lead to healthier social interactions and a greater awareness of the underlying dynamics at play in seemingly mundane exchanges. Part 6. The dynamics of psychological games in sexual relationships. The intimate ambience of the bedroom, while often associated with closeness and affection, can paradoxically also be a setting for deep-seated psychological games that extend far beyond mere physical interactions. A striking example is the game called Rapo, where sexual advances are used as a tool for manipulation and revenge, rather than an expression of mutual desire. In this game, one party might provoke a sexual scenario only to later accuse their partner of misconduct. Superficially, this confrontation might appear to be a straightforward negotiation between consenting adults. In reality, however, the interaction is driven by the child ego states of both parties. The accused may feel a secret thrill from appearing sexually irresistible, while the accuser reinforces negative stereotypes about sexuality, simultaneously alleviating their own guilt by shifting responsibility onto the other. Another complex sexual game is Uproar, which typically surfaces when underlying sexual tensions become too uncomfortable to address directly. For instance, consider a scenario involving latent tension between a father and his teenage daughter in a household where the mother is emotionally distant. Instead of confronting these troubling emotions, they might engage in a heated argument over something trivial, which escalates until one of them storms out, effectively ensuring they end up in separate rooms. This outcome, retreating to different spaces, not only allows both parties to avoid facing the underlying sexual tension, but also reinforces the physical separation that they unconsciously desire. Both examples highlight how sexual relationships can become arenas for enacting complex, often destructive psychological games. These games are not merely about sexual interaction, but involve intricate emotional maneuvers that serve to protect the participants from confronting deeper emotional truths or vulnerabilities. Recognizing and understanding these patterns can be crucial in resolving the underlying issues and fostering healthier relational dynamics. Part 7. Exploring the psychological games of rule breakers. The intrigue surrounding con artists, thieves, and drug dealers in popular media suggests a widespread fascination with rule breakers. But what drives individuals to embrace such risky, often destructive lifestyles? One compelling psychological explanation is the game known as Cops and Robbers. In Cops and Robbers, criminals might seem to be acting as calculating adults, cleverly finding shortcuts to attain a life of luxury. However, beneath this facade often lies a deeper, more complex desire to be caught. Surprisingly, this need to be apprehended stems from self-perception as a loser. Getting caught validates this self-image. Thus, you might observe criminals leaving behind clues or behaving recklessly post-crime to ensure they are eventually caught by law enforcement. Following capture and incarceration, another psychological game often begins: want out. In this scenario, prisoners might appear to be desperately seeking freedom, planning elaborate escapes that realistically have little chance of success. At first glance, this might seem like an adult's rational desire for liberty. Yet, paradoxically, it's more about the child state not wanting to face the uncertainties of the outside world. The escape attempts are half-hearted. Being caught and staying longer in the predictability and safety of the prison might actually be the outcome they subconsciously desire. These games reveal how deeply psychological needs can influence behaviors, driving individuals to engage in acts that might seem irrational at first glance, but fulfill underlying emotional motives. Understanding these dynamics can provide insights into the complexities of human behavior, particularly in those who consistently break societal rules. Part 8. The subtle games played within psychotherapy sessions. Considering the range of psychological games we engage in daily, it might seem that psychotherapy would be an ideal solution to navigate and resolve these issues. However, the therapy room is not immune from games, often complicating the path to genuine healing and understanding. One common game within psychotherapy is called indigence. In this scenario, a client presents a problem to the therapist, such as unemployment, with the ostensible goal of finding a solution. While both parties appear to engage as adults, seeking a pragmatic resolution, underlying dynamics may reveal a different story. Neither the therapist nor the client genuinely desires change. The therapist benefits from maintaining the therapeutic relationship, continuing to play the caring parent, while the client avoids the daunting prospect of change, comfortably remaining in the child role, helpless and dependent. Another game frequently encountered in therapy settings is "I'm only trying to help you," which primarily serves the therapist's ego. Here, a therapist may offer a solution knowing well it might be ineffective. When the client returns, unsuccessful in implementing the advice, it reinforces the therapist's perception of their superior competence, subtly condemning the client's supposed ineptitude. This allows the therapist to maintain a self-image of a competent parent in a world filled with incapable children. These therapeutic games, paradoxically, often maintain the status quo, complicating the client's journey towards genuine self-awareness and change. Understanding these dynamics is crucial not only for clients seeking therapy, but also for therapists committed to providing authentic aid, ensuring that the therapeutic process truly serves the needs of those seeking help rather than unconsciously playing out the complex games of the psyche. Part 9. Embracing Authenticity. The benefits of a life free from psychological games. Through delving into the complexities of psychological games, it becomes apparent that while these games can structure social interactions, they often prevent us from forming genuine, meaningful relationships. The question then arises, Why do we persist in playing these games? Initially, it's important to recognize that these games aren't typically a conscious choice. They evolve over time, rooted deeply in cultural and familial traditions, passed down through generations. Hence, many of us learn to play these games inadvertently, becoming adept players long before we fully understand their implications. Moreover, these games serve a protective function. They provide a buffer against vulnerability, allowing individuals to engage with others without exposing their true selves. This can make social interactions feel safer, but it comes at the cost of real intimacy and connection. However, if deeper, more authentic relationships are the goal, then stepping away from these games is necessary. This process starts with awareness, recognizing the games we play, understanding the roles we assume, and observing the dynamics in our interactions. The next step involves courage. The courage to let go of these familiar scripts and face others and ourselves with honesty and openness. This transition is not without its challenges. It requires constant vigilance to avoid falling back into comfortable patterns and the resilience to face the potential discomfort that comes with vulnerability. However, the rewards, richer and more fulfilling relationships, are well worth the effort. Choosing authenticity over gameplay might seem daunting, but the alternative is to remain trapped in superficial interactions, forever playing roles that never allow us to truly know and be known by others. Final summary: games are not just confined to playful activities. They are intricate parts of our daily interactions, often masked under layers of subconscious motives and defenses. These psychological games are pervasive. They shape our communications and relationships, driven largely by an inherent fear of vulnerability and the ultimate fear of genuine intimacy. However, recognizing and understanding these games can offer a powerful pathway to liberation. Through this awareness, we can start to dismantle the mechanisms that keep us entangled in these games, paving the way for authentic, meaningful connections. The journey towards transparency and vulnerability might be challenging, but it is also profoundly rewarding. By moving past these habitual games, we embrace the possibility of deep, fulfilling relationships built on trust and genuine understanding. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.